listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. The Lord had laid this message on my heart several weeks ago for this Sunday. And I want to take time this morning just to unpack the gist of this scripture to you. Could you work with me as I attempt to teach you a very important concept found in this passage of scripture? As a matter of fact, before you could actually gain the fullness of what this scripture is saying, you need to have a clear mind and a clear spirit to receive that which God has for us. So let me pray for you in that regard. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would clear our thinking and that you would give us receptive and clear minds to receive your word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what Paul says to the Roman church, Roman Christians. These are Christians, not gathering in the Vatican church. There was no Vatican in Rome when Paul wrote these words. This was to Christian believers in the city of Rome who were hiding in the trenches for their lives. And this is what Paul says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin, we can put a pause there for a moment. We can say, but thanks be to God that we who are gathered in this place, who were once slaves to sin, do you realize that you were once a slave to sin? We're going to get into that a little further. But you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient. Draw a circle around that word in your Bible. Because when Jesus liberated us from sin, we were the servants of disobedience. We disobeyed left, right, and center. But when Jesus got us on a course, we became obedient to him. So let's try this again so we can get all these things connected in our thinking. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. Paul said, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But he's communicating something here. And he says, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. How many know that's the way we lived our life outside of Christ? From one bad thing to another bad thing. Are you tracking with me, church? So now, Paul says, present your members. He's talking about your body. He's talking about you. Present yourself as slaves to righteousness, which leads to sanctification. Oh, my goodness. I hope we can get that. Hope we can get that this morning. So here's how it works. If you do whatever your boss says without hesitation or question. Then for all intents and purposes, you are your boss's slave. Okay? That's how it works. If your compliance to your spouse is immediate and total without reflecting on what is really best, then you are a slave to your spouse. And if you do whatever your sinful nature says, without resisting or discerning the wisdom in that choice, simply put, you are a slave to your sinful nature. That's what Paul's indicating in this passage of Scripture. On the other hand, through grace, we are all to be, we are to be for Christ what Paul calls slaves of righteousness. And Paul describes this as a good thing. But here's the problem for us. All too often, we're enslaved in a particular sin. And Paul describes that scenario as being slaves to another master. You remember Jesus said this truth, that we cannot be and cannot serve two masters. Okay, one or the other. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you some literation. How many know that literation from grammar school, you remember this, was a way of solidifying some things in your thinking? That form of repetition is an excellent way of embedding truth or an idea into our heart. You see, the word literation means the act or process of representing by letters. And in this case, I want to offer to you a series of words beginning with the letter S, which may be enslaving sins that unknowingly or knowingly we have gravitated towards. These may be things that you're wrestling with, things that are competing for the place that Jesus should have in your life. And they become hindrances to the development or even maintaining a Jesus culture in our life and in our church. Can I unpack that two-word phrase, Jesus culture, to you? There's a lot to be said about what we say in terms of a Jesus culture. First of all, let's look at the term culture. Culture is the way that a people think, really identifies a climate over people. And so when we insert the term Jesus culture, what we are saying is that we want everything that Jesus represents in the way we do life. You can have a Jesus culture in a church, or you can have a personality that is different from the manifestation of Jesus in a church gathering. You can have a person pursuing a Jesus culture or a way of doing life Jesus style. And ultimately, rather than being a slave to righteousness, we become a slave to another. And so I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about what we can be slaves to. We could be slaves to stuff. Stuff. If you are a slave to material things, you're going to find yourself thinking more money, more cars, newer cars, nicer clothes, bigger house, more and more. It's easy to become consumed with acquisition, especially for us in the Western world. And thereby, we have become slaves to stuff. Now, I need to say this so that we can balance this out. It's not so much do we have stuff, but does stuff have us? Think about it. Enslaved to stuff. Let me give you a second. Enslaved to sexuality. One of the reasons that I have put this on the list is because our culture has made sexuality a big deal. It's in the media, it's in the advertising, and the media has capitalized upon it. And sexuality, I might say, is a gift from God and a wonderful part of marital happiness. But if sex is always on one's mind, you could have twisted it into something God has never intended for it to be. And it will do you great harm. If immoral sexuality can ring your phone and you always answer, you become a slave to that sin. Okay? Let me give you a third area. Can I use the word substance? Substance. Some people seem to be powerless against substance. Like what? Alcohol? Legal and illegal drugs? Can I insert caffeine in there? Oh no, I have to say that. What about sugar? Oh no. Now I'm meddling. Clearly addicted and unable to say no. Such people have become slaves to substance. I've given you three: stuff, sexuality, substance. Let me give you a fourth. This could get a little tricky. Someone. Some people seem to be powerless against, that's my other point. Sometimes people hold undue influence or even outright control over other people. Someone. The slave is controlled by and addicted to securing the approval of a particular person. This is willing to do whatever is required by another person. By doing so, we have entered into another form of slavery to sin. I'm going to add a fifth here, and I'll stop meddling with you, all right? Sports. Why did I have to say that? You're talking to a person this morning who, from a very early age, had participated in some kind of sports. You may not know this about me. I don't usually talk about it. But by the time I was 13 years of age, I was recruited to play B League baseball in a men's division. By the time I was 17 years of age, I was drafted to play in double-A semi-pro baseball. So I started in this thing at a very, very early age. Look at my family. Most every one of them has been immersed in some kind of sporting endeavor. But whether you realize it or not, sports can capture the heart of our society. And I can say that it has. So much so that the individuals and families have sold out to the next big sports event. It has captured the heart. And this, too, is another form of slavery, which can easily become a sin. Just saying, by the way. Just saying. Though Christianity is often wrongly viewed as a restriction or of freedoms, that is, where God's rules are seen as bondage and legalism and all those kinds of words are thrown into the ring, the reality is that everyone is a slave to something. That's the reality. Now, that's what I want to drive home to you this morning. Whose slave are you? I've given you five things that can take us down a garden trail. But as I said just now, the fact is everyone is a slave to something. And we only have two choices. This isn't going to be complicated. It's going to be very easy to understand. We have two choices. According to Romans chapter 6, verse number 17, we can be slaves to sin. Yielding to whatever our sin nature demands. Or, number two, here's your second option. Or we can be slaves of righteousness, according to Romans 6, 18. And with the simple focus of doing the will of our master. So you got to ask yourself a question this morning. In light of what we are touching in our world today, with what's going on in the Middle East, and with the crazy spiritual conflict that we're experiencing in our Western world in America, people can't figure out if they're a man or a woman. That's a weird place to be. When we find ourselves in all kinds of crossfire of spiritual conflict today, it's important for us to make the right decisions. We need to stand our ground in Christ. So here's choices you can make. Choices for unrighteousness or choices for righteousness. How do we know whether we are a slave to righteousness or not? I'm going to offer you three very practical insights that can answer that question for you very easily. I want you to hear it out. Three things. Here's how you can know if you are a slave to righteousness. Number one, you are actually aware of your personal unrighteousness. I do what I do as a pastor, but I'm here to tell you something. I'm keenly aware of the fact that there are believers who are clueless when it comes to sin. They claim Christianity. They claim a faith in Christ, but are clueless when it comes to what is sin in their life and what isn't sin in their life. Here's how you can actually tell. You are aware of your personal unrighteousness. That is, when you sin, you should feel some conviction about it. You should feel uneasy about being in some kind of sin. The Holy Spirit is doing His job convicting us of that which is not of God. But if we continue in that, how clueless can we be? See, your heart should grieve, and you should regret breaking God's standard. And when you set your eyes on something inappropriate, or you say some cruel things, you speak some ill words about your brothers, your sisters. Of course, you would never do this. You would never speak poorly or badly of your leaders spiritually. But if you did, there should be something that goes off inside of us. Ding, ding. Church, that should ring a bell in our hearts and our lives. We are aware of our unrighteousness. You feel specific and acute conviction in that moment. The Holy Spirit won't let you get away from that. And you got to do what's right. If you don't, you're in a scary, scary place. And the Bible speaks of a seared conscience, and you never want to go there, for goodness sakes. Right? So, number one, you know, and you can tell that you're a slave to righteousness when you're aware of your own personal unrighteousness. You know what's going on inside of you is not right. This is in conflict with God's nature. Okay, number one. Number two, you cannot ignore your sin, and you have to make it right. If you're walking with the Lord, and you're in a good place with the Lord, you cannot ignore your sin. You got to do something about it. So when the Holy Spirit convicts you of a specific sin, you quickly ask God to forgive you. You deal with it right away. As a matter of fact, you also say to those that you have offended or even injured someone knowingly or even unknowingly, you need to go to that person and you say, I have sinned against you. And I'm truly, truly sorry. Please, please forgive me. That needs to be a work that we engage in all the time. In your marriages, I guarantee you, spouses, you're going to need to employ this each and every week. And I'm here to tell you, in the church, you could very easily need to be doing this every week or two in the church if you are in a close relationship with people. Because you're not going to like everything that happens in the church. And you're going to spill that off on somebody else. And that's not good. That's not good. So this is something we actively do. So can I tell you or ask you, when's the last time you went to somebody and asked for forgiveness? For something you said? Or maybe something you should not have thought? And deal with it. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. How many know that points us to the place of wholeness in the household of faith? Okay, what are we talking about here? We're talking about how can I tell if I'm a slave to righteousness? I've already told you, you're aware of your personal unrighteousness. I mean, you're aware of that. It comes forth in your life. Number two, you don't ignore your sin and you have to make it right. Something's driving you to make that right. Let me give you the third way to tell if you're a slave of righteousness. And this is the bottom line, church. You want to please Jesus. You want to please Jesus. This is at the heart of a Jesus culture. You want to please him. So can you honestly say that you think of the Lord Jesus frequently? I want to clear this up. Maybe not every moment. So I don't want to put you on any condemnation. You're not going to be thinking of Jesus every second of the day. But I'm going to tell you how this works. You're going to think of him many times throughout the day. Jesus is going to cross your mind. And you're going to be affectionate toward him. Real slaves of righteousness have the Holy Spirit inside them and prompting them to Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit will ask you some questions. Would this choice be pleasing to Jesus? Is this what he wants me to do? So again, I ask you, whose slave are you? Do you resonate with the description of the bondage of sin? Enslavement to stuff, sexuality, substance, someone, sports. You fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what I say. You fill in the blank. What fits you? Or are we increasingly, through faith in Jesus, a slave to righteousness? Now, Paul calls us to examine ourselves, to see whether we are actually in the faith or not. He says, test yourself. And if you are not bearing the fruit of righteousness, and I want to say, not perfectly, but increasingly. Did you get that? You're not going to be perfect, but there's going to be an increase, line upon line, growth factor in your life. Then you must ask yourself the question whether you've been set free from sin to become slaves of righteousness. I want to wrap up by saying you can't have it both ways. You're going to be a slave to something. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. And I'd suggest this morning, choose God and let him be your master today. Stand to your feet with me, would you? I've had this conversation with a number of people in the church in the last 2 weeks. And I am confident of this one thing. It's not the recipe to grow a large, large church. We could grow a large church. We could do a lot of easy things to get people to gather. But as a pastor, I have to ask myself, what's my mojo? Am I interested in gathering a crowd, gathering people? Or is it to grow an atmosphere that pushes for a Jesus culture church? A Jesus culture church is one that puts Jesus and his claims first and foremost. And I would like to think we could reach people, get people saved, and grow in that way. Or we can also embrace an atmosphere of the presence of Jesus, which leads us to living a lifestyle that represents Jesus. And so that's the package that I am comfortable with, elevating Jesus and living lives that fall in obedience to him. So whatever he says to do, we will do. We will live lifestyles that would not be in contradiction with who he is and his nature. And we would prepare ourselves for the spiritual conflicts that come our way, and in so doing, become his ambassadors in a very, very unrighteous world that we live in. I think Jesus has called us to be salt and light. And we have to make a choice. Are we going to be salt, which flavors, preserves, and influences a culture? Are we going to be light, which helps to demonstrate a pathway that we should be walking in and bring others into? I think we want to follow Jesus with all of our being like that. So I want to pray for you. Lift your hands to the Lord this morning and avail yourself. And what I've been trying to communicate is that rather than being slaves to unrighteousness, we want to adhere to the fact that we want to be slaves of Jesus, and he is our master, and righteousness is the way we want to live our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you will come and speak into our hearts the word of the Lord. As you've already been speaking to us throughout this service, in the worship, in the ministry time, Lord, you have been setting us into a place of recognizing there are only two choices: to be a slave of unrighteousness and a slave to righteousness, which ultimately means that we are walking under the canopy of your direction in our life. So Jesus, here we are. a room full of believers and folks listening online. And my prayer is that we will embrace you. We will flee unrighteousness and we will hold to your standard of righteousness and do everything in our life to align ourselves according to your pattern. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here is what I'm aware of. Because I am human, just like anybody else, we're gathered in this place, and we simply say something to this effect. You know, I have a need in my life. I'm not where I need to be, so I'm a candidate for prayer. I want to just invite you to come, and we have a wonderful prayer team here, to pray with you and for you, and help inch you, help you get to where you want to be in Christ. There's no sense, absolutely no sense, straddling the fence or even staying as a slave to unrighteousness. There's no sense in that. If you're struggling, and can I say this, every one of us are in a struggle from time to time. There is good help here for you. We can pray victory in your life and see you through a struggle that ultimately you can gain victory over and be a pure representation of Jesus. Amen? So I want to invite you to come. We have a ministry team here. God bless you. You have a great week. A lot of things happening this week. But don't leave this morning until you get prayed for and you get ministered to if you're in the thrust of all kinds of confusion in your life. God bless you. Have a powerful week in Jesus' name.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.